the way that this year looks like and the way that it feels, the way that so rapidly and so increasingly fast things are changing and they're going down the drain. And now I don't want to be like a Debbie Downer or anything like that, but the reality is that the people of God, those who are in leadership, and somehow we are to be prophets. And what I mean with that is just to call out the truth of what we see, and to make sure that we are a voice of alarm, a sound of alarm, because there is an alarming situation going on. And that is that as we look at, we've talked about this many times, and I think it's time for us to just kind of get really serious about it. The generational break and the generational gap that is between even people my age, the 42-year-olds or the 40-year-olds or whatever, and the upcoming generation. More and more, we are truly seeing that they're coming up and they're rising up completely confused, disconnected with God. There's no principles, no values, no morals. Everything is relative. And these are those who are going to be inheriting our world. And the church has failed at mentoring and discipling and training and pouring into this coming generation. We have. Because we have gone really focused on maintaining what we have without realizing that maintaining what we have is not going to provide the resources for what's to come, which is already here. Okay, and so whether we agree with it or not, the reality is that there is a break and that there is a lostness of connection where parents we're not doing our job anymore as parenting. I mean, I'm not talking about everybody. I'm just saying in general, we have really bought into what has been going on, the lie of Satan that this earth is all there is to be and to do, and I am scared. Seriously, I am scared, because once we are gone, if we are not really raising, meaning intentionally mentoring, raising up, discipling, coming alongside, trying to connect with them, understand them, pour into them, regardless of their brattiness and regardless of their wildness, regardless of their everything. I mean, if you just come to youth group one day and listen to the stories, if you would work with Leah, and I know that all teachers are in contact with these kids, but Leah has a ministry, she has a calling. She's there because she's been called to be there. So she intentionally tries to connect with these kids. And if you hear the stories of what these kids are going through, most of them, your heart will be like, where are the parents? And what's going to happen to these kids? What is going to happen to them? And what I mean with that is that we have a mandate as a church. We have a mandate as believers to go into the world and make disciples of all nations. So when we sign up to be believers and we sign up to be the body of Christ, we are signing up to be that, to be disciples, to be mentors, to be those who come alongside this next generation. Why? Because one of the things that we talked about this last week at youth group was the fact that God created us to be eternal. And that's something that people don't think about anymore. See, when he made us out of dust, that's our physical body, right? And that's something that the kids need to hear. They have a soul, they have a spirit. So this is our physical body made out of dust. But when he breathed into us, he gave us his spirit, which is meant to go back to him when our bodies are gone. And I know that most of us have heard that before. Maybe we are aware of that and we understand that, but the kids don't. They're living for today. They're living for what they see. And who is discipling them? The media outlets. They're believing everything that the media is telling them. Media can create whatever it is that they want, and these are the places where the kids are learning from. They're not learning from us anymore. They're not learning. The truth that they hear is very little compared to the lies and the fake things that they hear every single day. Now, what does that have to do with the revelation of Christ? Well, a lot of it. Because last week, Mike kind of presented to you the whole idea of Jesus being a witness. And he shares some verses with you, and he shares some insight with you about what it means to be a witness. So as we move through our slides, so when I go to our next one, And yes. Oh, you closed the lid?
No.
Oh.
I thought the juice in your
phone
was working.
Well, it's in and out, which it's all right. But so we're looking at the book of Revelation, and in the past I've been afraid because Revelation to me, it always appeared to me or felt like it was like prophecies. And I grew up, or I didn't grow up. I was brought into the idea and the knowledge that the book of Revelation was about eschatological things, which was prophecies of things to come. And people were all freaking out about when are the end times, right? When is Jesus coming back? And you've heard it. You've heard people say, well, he's coming back in year 2000, you know, and then he's coming back on, you know, this date, and then people making claims at this date and this date, and we're focusing about the pre-tribulation and the rapture and whether it's pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, post-tribulation, and we're focusing about all these things, and that's not what the book's purpose is for. Every book of the Bible, and you and I have to understand this, is meant to instruct us about how we are to live our lives today inside of the future. Okay? Every book of the Bible is about to teach us something about how to deal with what we're going through today, to give us the tools today for what we're facing at this moment and what is to come later on. And so the book of Revelation is also one of those books. Now, it tells things to its readers, which were back in the first century, about things that were to come pretty soon, and also about things that might happen later on in the future. But it wasn't like he had like a VR, you know, set in his head, and where he was like seeing virtual reality of some crazy stuff happening in the future. Yeah, there are some of those revelations, but that's not the intent. We're not supposed to be focusing about whether the 10 horns and figuring out, you know, who the horn is what and what is made out of metal and this and that. I mean, those are just descriptions so that we are aware. But how does that affect us today? So the revelation of the book of Christ for us is more about the person of Jesus. And it's more about who he is and what he's done and how he's equipped. So it says here, it's meant to warn us about things to come and how to get ready, prepare, and approach those things when they come. So how awesome is that? It's great because we're not in the dark. You know what I mean? We sang earlier, and the reason why I was encouraging you guys to be like, so my weapon is a melody. Heaven's come to fight for me. These are truths in the Word of God that we are meant to take on and actually paint a picture in our mind with our sword. And our song being like that sword, and we're just like, in the name of Jesus, wow, we're just swashing that sword around, and we're like, oh, yeah, fear, you're coming to me, and wow, in Jesus' name, you know, like that's what we're supposed to be doing. The enemy, you have been defeated. The Word of God says, ba, 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 and you're like, you're declaring the Word of God, and in the spiritual realm, you're having that sword, and you're like swashing it all over, and you know, that's what's supposed to happen. So when we declare and we say our weapon is a melody, that's what, when you sing and you're facing fears and you're facing the giants and you're facing all these things, it is the Word of God confessed and declared that will help you overcome and give you the strength that you need to stand strong against all these things. So the next slide, it's keeping us all. How is Jesus revealed in the first verses of the passage that we're going to have today? So it says that Jesus is the faithful witness, and the word witness means basically a martyr. All right, one who basically gets the next slide just kind of it says the one who is martyr in self-sacrifice. Why is this important? Well, because Jesus is our ultimate example, right? I mean, if we're serious about our faith, which you know I'm always going to be challenging you because that's how God challenges me. If you and I are serious about our faith, when we come to Jesus, it says that we have died to ourselves. It says, I no longer live. So if you have not made the decision to say, God, I need your help to help me die to myself every day, that means anything and everything in your life that points to you, anything and everything in your life that is out of selfish motive, if you and I are not making that decision every day to say, Father, I need your help to help me crucify my flesh so that I no longer live, but you live in me, and you come and build your image inside of me so that I portray you to the world and not me, then I would highly encourage you to look deep in there and say, am I really a believer? Because again, I've told you this before many times, the Bible says that demons believe as well. So to say, I believe, does not mean anything unless it's put into practice and it's being walked out. It's an active thing. You need to activate that which God has given us. Because otherwise, it's just there. I told you this before. It's like giving you a gift and saying, here's all of these things, but if you never open it, then you never take advantage of it. So the next one says, because as believers, we're called to be witnesses. And to be witnesses is God's standard. Meaning, that's his lowest standard. Calling all who profess and confess him as Lord. Can we go? Can we keep going? And Jesus is our ultimate example. So he's our faithful witness, and that's what he calls us to do. Let's just move to the next one. Okay, so our world really does not need nice people. Hayward community does not need a nice-looking bunch that are well-dressed, well-spoken, religious, non-drinking, parties, wearing, church-attending, self-righteous, pew-warming, self-serving people. That, the world doesn't need that. Hayward community doesn't need that. It has plenty of that. What does Hayward community need? What does our society need? Okay? It needs witnesses. Can we move on? God's witnesses. He needs martyrs. Again, like I said, that's the lowest standard. When you sign up for God, that's what I'm saying. You're signing up for a new life, for a life of victory. That means that your whole brain, your whole everything needs to be transformed. We used to be slaves, so we think as slaves. We think as broken people. We think as shackled people. We think as unable people, as weak people, as conquered people. But when you come into the kingdom of God, and that's something that I struggle with because I want to live that way, but I see my flesh always getting in the way, but at least that God will give us a revelation that that's what we want, that he will give us a hunger, that that's where we want to go towards. To be transformed. We're no longer slaves. So, of course, we don't know how to not be slaves because we've been slaves all of our lives. So how does that work? Well, we need the word of God to teach us how to not be slaves. So I don't respond the same ways anymore. I don't act the same. I don't feel the same. I don't allow my emotions to dictate. On all of these things, I no longer follow the patterns of what I used to be like. That's what Romans 12 says, be renewed, be transformed and renewed all your mind. We need our minds and our hearts to be renewed. And the only one who can do that is Jesus. And that's his example. So he has accomplished so much for us. Freedom, deliverance, release from bondage, to enjoy and proclaim. And one thing that I keep asking myself as I look at lives of some of the teenagers and even my own children sometimes is like, how do you expect to not be depressed and to not be anxious and to not be sad and to not be angry and to not be, you know, suicidal and to not be, if all that you're feeding yourself with is all this stupid junk that you find on the media. But the question goes back again, so who is responsible for that? We can blame the children, but the reality is that we have not done our job as mentors to guide them and teach them into what they're supposed to. We've given up and we've also fallen prey ourselves of those same things that they are being involved with. And so you see a bunch of my contemporaries, young adult people, you know, and younger parents that are stupidly posting things on social media, falling prey to the same temptation and lie that our kids are. And instead of wanting to be mentors to their kids, they want to be equal to their kids. That's why I posted last week on Facebook. It was a joke. But I posted and I said, hey guys, what do you think if I become a TikTok sensation? TikTok is a website or an app where kids are making videos and they're doing dances and saying things and stuff like that. And everybody imitates them. Everybody wants to be like the next viral sensation. And so I have my kids doing dances. Hey, I learned this dance in, you know, in TikTok and things like that. And they're making videos. And so I posted, you know, jokingly, what do you guys think if I became a TikTok sensation and I just, you know, wanted to be so cool for everybody? And some people are like, yeah, you should go for it. And some people are like, no way, man. No, no, no. And then Danny commented, you know, and he's like, no, bro, please don't, you know. But then some of my people were like, yeah, you should try. And again, like I said, some people were, and I was like, I was just joking, because how ridiculous it is that I, as a 42-year-old, would want to look and feel and sound like a 16-year-old. I can't. I mean, I can love them and I can be still young at heart. But if that's my effort, if that's my focus, I'm going to fail, because they're all going to look at me like being like, what are you doing? Please, just go, you know. That's what the whole expression of okay boomer came out, you know, like you don't understand. It doesn't matter how cool you think you are. It's almost embarrassing. Like, don't embarrass yourself. Just be you, you know. And our kids don't need us to be like them. Our kids need structure, need all that stuff. And that's what the book of Revelation is. It's telling us that these are the things to come. And that's why I am, you know, taking this time to be like, this is where we're at right now. This year, it's an election year, correct? Right? And it's not about politics. It's about where this country is headed based on the leadership that is in place and based on the influence that we're allowing it to have. And the reality is that a lot of things that are negative towards God's kingdom are coming even deeper and stronger and harder on all of us. And soon... And don't think that we have to wake up. We have to wake up, because this is what the book of Revelation was saying. We have to wake up and not think like, oh, things are just going to go. I mean, I am kidding you not. I will not be, you know, surprised if within the next 5 years there's a huge persecution that came to the United States where you and I will no longer enjoy these freedoms. And I'm telling you that it might be coming, because it is part of what the Word of God says. The evil will increase and we will be persecuted and we will be done all these things. And so my question to us is, are we ready? Like, what are we doing to be ready? And then if we look at the condition of the young people coming up, who's going to inherit our country? If we don't have young people with values, with morals, with a moral code and standards that are godly, that are being taught, that they know the Word of God, that they know the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they know the power of the Holy Spirit, then who's going to be in office? Then who's going to be our next school principal? He's going to be our next school coordinator or whatever. Superintendent. And he's going to be, you know, our next business owners. And who's going to, you know, who are going to be our new... You hear more and more. Right now, I just heard of another sister church around here. And I'm not going to say which one. But they're struggling and they might come to a division because of the whole LGBTQ thingy. Another one. Now, you tell me, how the heck did that happen? How in the world does this philosophy from hell infiltrate a church? But it's infiltrating our homes, and it's infiltrating our children, and it's infiltrating our own lives. And what are we doing about it? We are not paying attention. And we have to. We have to. We need to know the one who's speaking. We need to have ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that obey. We can no longer think that just maintaining our tradition of going to church on Sundays and maybe here and there. You know, we talked about, I'm going to be talking to their leadership this week, the leadership of Spider Lake Church, about something really important, and that it is, you know, we say we're members of Spider Lake Church, you know, and we call ourselves members, and we say, this church has been our church for 30 years, 40 years, blah, 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 and, you know, we have older generation and younger generation, and we have all these conflicts once in a while, here and there because of the building or because of the style or because of the times or because of that. It's like, really, Jesus has no time for that. And the reason why I say that is because when you sign up, say, okay, I'm a believer, then you're going to sign up to grow. You're going to sign up to learn what your gifts are. You're going to sign up to, as you learn how you get what your gifts are, you're going to learn to serve. You're going to be part of the kingdom of God as we move forward. It says the kingdom of God is advancing. So that means that we're walking somewhere. We have a call. We have a mission. We have a mandate. We have somewhere to go. And that's what these believers were really aware of. So to be called a member of the Spider Lake Church, it might change. It might mean that when you sign up, you're going to learn about all these things. And then you're going to eventually get to the place where you're going to find out what your gift is. And then you're going to be like, my gift is teaching, or my gift is encouragement, or my gift is cooking, or my gift is, you know, mentoring others. My gift is whatever thing it is. Then we're going to find a place for you to serve. Why? Because it's no longer going to be to where, like, I just come. Now, we're not going to tell you not to come, because you can come and worship wherever you want. But if you call yourself a member of this church, you're going to be involved. We talk about the widows and caring for the widows. Yeah, let's care for the widows. The Bible also has a mandate that says that the widow needs to be training up the next generation of women. And if they're not training the next generation of women, they're not doing their job. And neither are the men. Why? Because women don't know today how to be women. A lot of women don't even know there's a Proverbs 31 verse or chapter where it talks about how to be a woman of God. But what women are teaching the other younger women? Where are the women? Where are the men that are teaching young boys how to be men? It's time. Because the end times are coming. Our affection needs to change. Because if we are focused on us, it's not going to change. Let's keep going. So, two passages to look at real quick is these. Do not love the world or the things in the world. And if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And I want you to catch these things. These are not just cute words in a page in the Bible for us to be like in awe about and be like, oh, holy, holy. You know, no. These are words that are telling you, if anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. So take a look at my life and take a look at your life and say, do I love the world? Is my affection more for the world? So, because if it is, then it's saying right there, love for the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Next. The purpose of these revelations is to prepare us for eternity. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but people who are in the spiritual, okay, now again, I want you to catch this because this is very convicting from the Word of God. People who are in the spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them and they can't understand it, for only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Again, it's telling you, if you're not getting this, if we're not understanding this, if it doesn't make sense and if it doesn't change us and transform us, then there's a problem. That means that we're not spiritual. And if we're not spiritual, that means we're not born again yet. Because we are dead still in our sins. Death still reigns over us. Because when the Spirit of God comes in, it awakens you and me to listen and to see. That's his power. You can't say the Spirit of God lives in me. You can't. I mean, it's impossible. You can't say fire was brought into my heart and I didn't get burned. Does that make sense? You can't say, unless you are a really powerful, mighty being, that you can't say, I'm going to put my hand in the fire and it's not going to burn me. Right? So you can't say the Spirit of the living God, who created the heavens and the earth, who has existed from eternity to eternity, who holds the universe in his hands, you can't say that Spirit lives in me and not have it mess with you constantly. It's impossible. And you know I'm going to tell you these things because I want to live in myself. I tell them to myself. I get challenged every day. Like when anxiety comes, when fear comes, when all these fears come, I'm like, holy cow, I'm not living this out. And I go to God and I'll be like, God, what's, I don't want to live this way. You've given me everything. So it stirs in me something. So that's the only reason why I can come and tell you that, because I get convicted of it all the time. But the reality is that we can't just... Christianity is not a name. Christianity is not a tradition. Christianity's got nothing to do with any of that. Christianity is the Spirit of the living God coming inside of people to change him and transform him, to renew him, to bring him to life from death. So, our passage just says, and I'm going to go real quick through it, says, when I turned to see who was speaking to me, I saw seven gold lampstands, and standing in the middle of the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man. He was wearing a long robe with a gold sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like flames of fire. Let's go to the next. It says his feet were like polished bronze, refined in a furnace, and his voice thundered like mighty ocean waves. He held seven stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth, and his face was like the sun in all of its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. Now, I want to stop right there just for a minute and say, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. And that's the same thing that happened to Isaiah. Okay? These are people that saw the glory of God, and they felt like, holy cow, I am doomed. I cannot behold this amazing thing, and I'm so broken, I'm so filthy, I'm so terrible, that there's no way. I mean, this is so glorious, so pure, so holy, so... divine, that compared to my state, I'm like, bleh, and they are feeling like they're going to die. That's supposed to be the effect of Jesus coming into your life and my life. To be like, whoa, I am doomed. But then Jesus comes in and says, no. I mean, yes, you're doomed, but I've come to free you. I come to rescue you. I come to forgive you. I come to give you a new life. So, says he, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I was dead, but he laid his right hand on me and said, don't be afraid. And I love that, because he backs that up by saying, don't be afraid. I'm the last one and I'm the first one. I've always existed, you know. And then he keeps on going, says, I am the living one. I die, but look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and the grave. I mean, that's so cool. Hey, don't be afraid. I'm the man. You know, don't be afraid. I rule. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. Don't be afraid. I conquered everything. Don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last. Don't be afraid. No one can stand against me. You know, we just sing, oh, who can stop the Lord Almighty? And we say, no one. He says, no one. Right? It says, write down what you have seen, both the things that are right now happening. And that's kind of like what we're talking about right now. These are the things that are happening. So write them down. Talk about them. Communicate them. Right? It's important. And that things that will happen, like I just told you. I mean, things are going to be coming, and it's going to get hairy. This is the meaning of the mystery of the seven stars you saw on my right hand and the seven gold lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. And we're just going to take a quick look at so you will understand what the seven lampstands are, and the stars, and the churches, and all that stuff. So seven gold lampstands meant that the seven churches that he was about to speak the message to, the churches in Asia, they were real churches, all right? They were real people. Like, I'm talking to you, you know, that's the message. He was going to go to seven churches that were very prominent and that were about to face some crazy things. 10 years after this message was written, there was a huge persecution that rose, and it made Christians... You know, they killed them, burned them, and all kinds of stuff. There was a huge persecution that arose, all right? So these were the seven churches. But they were very specifically focused, meaning each church had a specific message that God was going to bring to. Okay, so what is God saying to Spider Lake Church? What is he wanting to speak to us this year? I said, it's an election year. We don't know what's going to happen. But this church, Spider Lake Church, can no longer keep going the same way that we've been going, meaning we need to get deeper and more real and more involved with raising the next generation And the ones that are here, us right here, we need to commit to grow and mature and get deeper into our relationship with God. And at the same time, as we grow and mature, we're going to be pouring in. So Fire Lake Church will be pouring into you so that you can pour into others. Okay? And we're going to do that a lot more intentional this year. I don't know exactly what that looks like, but wait for it. It's coming. So he was standing in the midst of these churches as one who is involved. So Jesus is involved, he's invested, he's connected, he's engaged, and he's committed to us. And we know this is Jesus because this is the name he gives himself many times in the gospel, Son of Man. Now, the long robe that he was wearing represents higher honors in the Roman world. The longer the robe, the more important and greater authority was. Okay? So he's standing there with authority. That's what it represents. The gold sash, so the gold sash basically means royalty. So he doesn't only have authority, but he has kingly authority. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So that's what he's getting, the gold sash. That's what it represents. The white hair in the ancient world meant wisdom, honor, and respect worthy. It meant authority as well because of the knowledge and experience and insight the elders were believed to have. And in the ancient world, as in other Middle Eastern cultures, elders are always highly respected because of that. And that is being taught. So, but who teaches them? The same elders and the same older people. They teach them how to be respectful because they're engaged, because they're part of it, right? Now it says his eyes are full of light, represented by fire. It's active, burning, alive, consuming. Okay? His voice like thunder, loud, authoritative, powerful, earth-shattering and earth-shaking, booming. That is the way his truth is. That's how it should be. Okay? That's Jesus. That's how we see Jesus. That's how he represents himself and he sees himself here. So authority with royalty, you know, with wisdom, with power, with loudness of truth. You know, the seven stars are believed to be seven entities, presences, angels, leaders, overseers, whatever you want to call it, spiritual beings that are commanded by God to be over each one of these seven churches. All right? Entities in charge of loving, protecting, serving, teaching, guiding these churches. Okay? So God sends his protection and his love and his power and his care to each one of us, to his body of believers. All right? And his double-edged sword is his word, his very own nature that cuts deep to reveal and expose, but also heals. It's a sword that as it goes in, it cuts to expose, to tear apart, to open up, and to bring all that junk out. And as it comes out, it heals. That's his double-edged sword. So it hurts. So when he comes, when you let him in, it's going to hurt. He's going to come and he's going to tell you. He's going to expose all those things that are bad. And they stink. And they hurt. And they're wounds. And they're pain. But as he does that, as he comes out, he's going to be healing that as the sword comes out, as you give him the chance in your life. Okay, next. And the radiance of his glory, when he says the sun is all of his brilliance, nature and character, so powerful that even angelic beings cannot stand to stare at, but have to cover their faces. Isaiah saw it and I proclaimed, woe is me. Already talked about that. So we could go and says, and all of this is met with the command exhortation, do not fear. He shares these things with us so that we can be sure, secure, and confident of who's saying them, what he has accomplished, and with what authority he speaks. Okay, so he's not telling you, hey, don't be afraid. No, don't be afraid because look at who's behind you. Look at who's with you. Okay? Aren't you glad he has not left us alone? Aren't you blind that he reveals himself to us this way? He has not left us clueless. The word of God is here. It reveals him to us. It reveals what he has done. It reveals what he wants to do. It reveals what's to come. It reveals what's here. It reveals what's here. And it gives us all the tools we need. That's what I'm saying. This is the revelation of you, to Jesus. Trials have come and are here and will come. But there's one who has offered us hope, promised salvation, and accomplished victory for our journeys. It's just, are we going to believe that? And are we going to take that and embrace that and make it ours? I'm telling you, I I cannot longer think that life is just going to go on and things are going to be okay. More and more, God has just continued to open up my mind about I have a mandate. I have a reason. I have a purpose. I don't want to wake up any more days without really believing that I am here as an agent of God, as a martyr, as a witness, as an ambassador, as a co-worker, as a minister of his covenant, because that's what his word says I am. He doesn't say, okay, you are all just going to come and be my children and have candy and be in my presence and that's it. No, he calls us to come alongside with him and be ministers of his covenant, of being witnesses of his power and his love, to be his army that goes in and rescues, disciple makers. He's called us to be active. It's like you're signing up. I'm going to finish with this. It's like thinking that you can go to the army and be like, hey, I know the army gives me free education, you know, and I know that they're going to give me a good salary and stuff like that. So, hey, where do I sign up? Oh, well, you know, what are your skills? Oh, I don't really want it. I don't know. Why do you want to know my skills? Well, because we need to connect you somewhere, because when you come to the army, you need to serve a purpose. Right? When you come to the army, you need to connect somewhere and plug in somewhere and be of use. No, I just really just want to come and enjoy. I thought that I would just kind of like get that cute little, you know, outfit, you know, because I like camo stuff. And I think the boots are really cool, right? And I like to travel overseas, right? Yeah, but you need to learn how to use a gun and you need to go and learn how to, you know, strategies of war, and you need to learn how to go and defeat the enemy, and you need to learn how to, you know, all these things. Or if you're going to be a cook, you need to cook for them, but you're going to be cooking where there's like going on and you're like, holy cow, you know, a bullet just went through my pan, you know, or something like that as I was cooking, and I just flipped the omelet because I was so scared because a bomb just landed on, you know, 15 feet away from you or whatever. It's like, it would be, I mean, I think that recruiter would look at you and be like, what? You want to sign up and get all these benefits, but you don't want to participate? Do you see how ridiculous that is? Well, that's the kingdom of heaven. That's the kingdom of God. You can't say, Jesus, come and save me. I give you my life. And I'll go to church every Sunday. And I'll stop swearing. And I won't drink anymore. And I'll dress nice. And I'll be kind. Thank you. Hey, we need, you know, this, and we need to do that, and we need to reach our community, and we need to teach young men and young women, and this and that, and we need to whatever. We need to help the widow, the orphan, and we need to, you know, care for the drug addicts and the alcoholics and all that stuff. I don't think I can do that. And then you're like, wait, I thought you were signing up for God's kingdom. The kingdom of God is forcefully advancing. That's what it says. The kingdom of God is forcefully advancing. And those who are forceful, who are strong, who are courageous, who are valiant, who are mighty, advance with it. Sorry, pals, but there is no lower standard than that. I hate to be the one that breaks it to you, but there's no I'm a cute Christian label. Christian means warrior. Christian means conqueror. Christian means go-getter. Christian means overtaker, overcomer. That's what Christian means. That's what I want to be. That's what I encourage you to be, guys. So let's pray together.